All right, Coastal Carolina, we promised you a continued special session with Major Dave on the 2016 election results and the data that he's been sifting through. So this is that special session. We're going to have some questions to ask him, and hopefully we can shine light on some of the questions that you might have. Rainer, I think you had one to begin with.
Well, I just want to...
I know you've got more than one, but...
I've got a ton of them. I want to know where you think this is going, what you want to ultimately achieve, and is there anything we can do to help you get there?
Not in the near term. Ultimately, I think, personally, I would like to see them rip the system out by the roots and start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're talking about 1990s technology. You know, many states are already using ballot on demand.
Would the legislature be the
yes?
Okay.
Much of the initiative will have to come from the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
But as confused as any of us sitting around this table or listening to us over the air may be by all this, so are the legislators. It's taking them time to fully embrace the wealth of what has happened. And again, I'm not proving that something was wrong. I'm proving the need to keep digging because everything appears that something was wrong.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And we need to keep digging. And it's just, unfortunately, it's going to take more resources than I as a private citizen have, or even a group like yours. We have a lot of very talented people out there. And there are other people like at Civitas who've looked at certain aspects like the same-day registration.
Mm-hmm.
They file their lawsuit, and they're pursuing that. And this is all going to work together. And that's why I don't talk a whole lot about SDRs, because they're working with those front-end numbers. That's the registered voters and ballots cast.
Right.
I'm still trying to focus on the candidates who ran and the number of votes awarded and whether that math was proper.
And This is the way I feel about it. We have heard so much about preventing voter suppression. I think equal effort and money should be spent on correcting this problem. Voter suppression, I think, is bogus because I don't believe it exists. There may be some isolated instances of it.
I'll
certainly
give you some
not
numbers
in our part
to show
of the
it
world.
Doesn't. Yes,
not in our part of the world. That's for
right.
sure.
But this issue here, you're talking about manipulation of election results and manipulation of the voting system because you are taking advantage of known flaws in there, and there are people, like I said in the recorded show that we did, there are people out there that are totally aware of that and are expert at exploiting those flaws. And it's going on not just in North Carolina. It's going on throughout the entire nation, but especially here in North Carolina. And one of the points you just brought up while we were talking offline there was, you know, why would the electorate make so many changes by voting for one party over another in all these different races, but the four top positions that control how our elections are going to run were voted from the other party? It doesn't make sense.
That's right, Rick. And
you can elaborate on that.
Sure. And I love to. Up until now, we've talked about just the data system and data inaccuracies and anomalies. So now for a moment, let's start and put the partisan veil over the whole thing.
Well, I don't know that it's partisan. I think it's logic. Logical. It makes sense.
Well, obviously, if somebody did manipulate the data, they had a reason.
Right.
And they had a desire.
Now, that would be partisan.
Yes, they wanted to change the outcome.
So let's look at the way that the actual outcome played out. You have Donald Trump coming in seventh among the Republican candidates on the ballot statewide. You have Hillary Clinton coming in seventh among the Democrats. That defies everything we've ever known as down ballot drop off.
Sure does.
Typically, the most people will vote for president, a few less for senator, and a few less for governor and lieutenant governor. It trickles on down to the bottom of the statewide ballot.
I don't know if it's ever happened in the reverse.
That is
before.
One of the most interesting anomalies that you've pointed out because it defies all conventional logic.
Mm-hmm.
One of the top vote getters in the state, Republicans, was a Court of Appeals candidate, Bob Hunter. He was either like the third or fourth top vote getter. Steve Troxler, the State Commissioner of Agriculture, was the top vote getter in the state.
Now, well, that was an uncontested election, if I remember correctly, which would make part of that, if I remember.
Oh, no. He had a challenger.
Okay.
He had a challenger. And The Hillary Clinton campaign is out there claiming voter suppression. Well, you know, let's look at it. Who were these six Democrats that got more votes in North Carolina than Hillary Clinton did? Elaine Marshall, the Secretary of State, got 178,000 more votes than Hillary Clinton.
That's enough to have switched the election.
I guess the Democrats
were short. It certainly didn't suppress them voting for Marshall. So, now the claim of voter suppression is bogus. Hillary Clinton got less votes than Sarah Stevens, who was a down ballot Court of Appeals Democrat incumbent who lost her race.
That is wacky.
Of course it is. Okay, maybe it happened, but again, why would the same voter population give us our first ever Republican Commissioner of Insurance, replace a longtime Department of Public Instruction, June Atkinson,
mm-hmm.
give Dale Falwell the treasurer's seat, but yet prefer Roy Cooper and Josh Stein as governor and attorney general? Beth Wood is a state auditor, and Elaine Marshall is Secretary of State. Those were the top four Democrat vote-getters in the state.
And it's worth noting, we talked about this last week, for those of you who tune in regularly, we talked about the Rocky Mountain heist, and all of those positions tie in integrally
right.
to how the future of North Carolina's elections will play out. And if you were inclined to infer something insidious into all this—
yes.
You can't look around the fact that there are people trying to make this a blue state,
right.
a consistent blue state.
And the Rocky Mountain heist, if y'all didn't hear that program, was how a group went into Colorado and did the manipulation just like this to take those four offices.
Four really wealthy people
yeah.
threw a lot of money into the campaign.
Right.
And once you have those seats, you have the capability, certainly, of controlling an election.
Right. And you roll downhill and you keep those spots
and
you keep other
spots
and you spread it.
Just happen to be the four that have a statutory or constitutional
exactly.
duty to control elections. Well, if you're a Democrat who's been upset since 2010 that the Republicans took control of the legislature and the governor's mansion, obviously if you want to retake control of state government, your first step has got to retake control of the elections process. And that's what happened in North Carolina.
And that starts
November.
Tinkering into
so
all your districts and everything else.
So if somebody wanted, the electorate wasn't doing what you wanted them to do, and you want to switch things back over, one way to do it would be to manipulate the votes, if you had the ability to, in such a way that you got control of those four. It would be too outlandish to take them all at one time.
Sure.
But if you took the ones that controlled the elections, man, have you got something to work with from there.
And let's talk about the threshold that was involved there, the 10,000 threshold that you talked about. And all of a sudden, this extra 5,000 or so votes that show up in one county there, to get it up to the 10,000 threshold, explain that.
Well, I find it curious that of the 100 counties in North Carolina, during the canvass process after the election, when we look at all the provisional ballots, they look at the late arriving absentee by mail ballots that come from our military, people living internationally. They have 10 days after the election to have their ballot received back here and counted. It still has to be postmarked by Election Day. But they give it 10 days for the mail to arrive here. And they each have to be inspected and they have to be approved and voted on before they're accepted and tallied. Well, all of those votes in the process show up in those absentee and the provisional reports that I look at. So I sort them by the date. And, of course, provisional ballots, we know they're all accepted during the canvass. They come late in the process. So then I tally them by county. And Mecklenburg County, our second most populous county, comes in at number two with 897 provisional ballots. Well, Wake County is at number one. They're actually, Mecklenburg's larger than Wake.
Yeah.
But Wake County has 3,188 provisional ballots that they count. Now, that's a 350% plus variance over Mecklenburg. Nobody seems to have a problem with that. Over two-thirds of those provisional ballots was cast because the voter had an unreported move. They had changed residence. And we're to believe that over two-thirds of those 3,000 votes were all investigated and verified. I don't think they went out and checked the residences of all 2,000 and some people before Mm-mm. counting those provisional ballots. Mm-mm. But that block of ballots played a pivotal role in November because Wake County was one of the last counties to certify the results as official. They did it on November 29th, and that is what put Roy Cooper's margin of victory over the 10,000 vote threshold to force Pat McCrory's concession. Now, had it been less than 10,000, McCrory could have demanded a recount, and the state would have paid for it. But if the margin of difference is more than 10,000, he could still ask for a recount, but then he would have had to pay for it. Once he conceded, Buck Newton conceded, Michael LaPaglia conceded, and Chuck Stuber conceded. And it was just a house of dominoes that just fell one right after the other, and all of those statewide races went to the Democrats.
Now, here's a big question that I know a lot of our listeners have, so I'm going to go ahead and ask it for them. Mm-hmm. Let's suppose that this goes on and is investigated further and come to find out that, hey, there was some hanky-panky in here. Mm-hmm. There were some fraudulent votes, and it was enough to have made a difference in the election. So Roy Cooper would not have been our governor had it been legitimately done. All this is supposition now. What could be done? Could he be unseated?
Everything I have found, no. There is absolutely no precedent for it.
Right, and that's the problem.
Hal. They've been certified, and he is the constitutionally sworn governor.
The only
he may not be the duly elected governor, but he is the constitutionally sworn governor.
The only potential would be for Pat McCrory, the party withstanding, to bring forth a lawsuit challenging the certification of the election based on fraud. There is no precedent for it. It would be interesting, to say the least. It would bring up some of those things that we probably will hear about on the 21st with America's Remedy, with unseating a sitting governor duly elected by force, essentially. It gets into the very nature of how do people get their legitimate power and where does it come from. It's a very interesting topic to think.
And John Ainsworth and Cliff Muncy are very well-versed on that. They'll give you an excellent presentation.
And I ask that question mainly because I know a lot of our listeners are wondering, well, can't we do something about it?
So maybe the next question is, what is the best outcome that realistically can be achieved?
To try to prevent it from happening again in the future.
Exactly.
To make modifications to the system. That's my best answer. But, you know, what I want to point out here is, as I've said a number of times, just like with the Rocky Mountain heist, how they went in and took over Colorado, and they wanted to roll that plan out into other states, Virginia and North Carolina is one of them. And obviously they were successful at doing it here. In my opinion, they came in here and they've done the same thing. What's going on here is a flawed system and people with no integrity, no morals, no character, will win any way they can. They come in and manipulate the system so that they are victorious, knowing that even if it is revealed, it's too late. Just like with the same-day voting. How many days did they have? It's 30 days.
30 days.
Yeah, 30 days. Well, their vote's already been accepted, counted, certified before that 30 days. I can't remember which state it was, but there were several thousand of those same-day voter registrations that after 30 days they couldn't find any of the people.
I get all that, Rick, but what I want, I don't want to throw up our hands. I don't want to give up. I don't want to match their evil with a different kind of evil to get what we want. I want to know, how can we successfully clean up this mess?
I just told you one way. Get rid of same-day voting.
Okay, that'll affect front end voters who do things wrong. It will not affect back end manipulation of data improperly to make it look like something happened that didn't really happen.
Rainer, I thank you for bringing that up because as you've listened to this show this week, and I realize this is a bonus segment. What you're talking about and the ultimate conclusion is going to require a criminal investigation.
How
does
that get going?
Well, when you start talking about criminal activity, you're talking about two things, motive and opportunity. That's what any investigator looks for when they start investigating mm-hmm. a crime. You can't talk about them without talking about the partisan aspects we just discussed about right. who benefited.
Right.
Why would somebody have done this?
And that you can see and that so, very clearly.
Exactly. And so when I'm talking to the Board of Elections today, I'm not talking about motive and opportunity. I'm pointing to data anomalies that when you start looking at all of them collectively, that's what moves the needle.
Mm-hmm.
Over towards that, that and it wasn't emotional. Just onesies and twosies. There were some patterns that developed. There mm-hmm. were sufficient anomalies. I mean, 510 lines of over and under votes can be tens of thousands of votes. And if those lines disappeared because somebody took that number and awarded it to a candidate of their choice on the back end in the data manipulation, you can change the outcome to be whatever you want to. And with the missing lines, nobody's ever going to know. The most they'll know is that there was a problem.
Right.
But you don't know how many undervotes or overvotes there were that were awarded now because they're gone. And when I approached that during the meeting, I was told that it could happen because of a pivot table. Now, I admit at the time I had never heard of a pivot table. Now, pivot table.
That's a spreadsheet
is,
term.
Is something, it is. In a spreadsheet, you have rows and you have columns.
Mm-hmm.
If you turn it 90 degrees and turn the rows into columns and the column into rows, that's pivoting a table.
Okay.
But what I'm trying to wrap my head around, and again, I'm no computer expert by any means, what form of data processing and manipulation would require you to do that just to calculate the sum of votes among those 2,704 precincts? And that goes back to what I said before. The system has become far more complex and convoluted than it ever needed to be. And ES&S, the vendor out of Nebraska who has the state contract, they're the sole source vendor, the only one certified by the state board to do this, has contracts in like 32 different states. Well, folks, if it's happening here in North Carolina, it can be happening in all of those states.
In 32 states, most.
Right. Well, you know these people go to professional conferences. You know, we hear all you know all the time going down to Myrtle Beach and spending $300 a night for a hotel room to sit in a conference for 2 days and eat cardboard ham and that type of stuff. But they share notes between each other.
Certainly.
Yeah.
And there's so we know in Bladen County we had the 168 absentee by mail ballots they determined were all signed by the same six people. Why would we presume that Bladen County is the only place that happened? You know, it's just that nobody's digging any deeper. And that has become my main mission, is to convince the legislature, the FBI, the State Board of Elections, everybody, to tear this thing apart, to dig deeper. And they could say, well, it might be wasted effort. Nothing happened. Well, fine. But let's know that, and let's know it because we dug down that.
Is there any? Is there anything to make you think that it's possible that nothing happened?
Trying to dismiss all of this as just coincidence, as clerical error. You know, yeah, some of it came from DMV. I understand that. Some of it's legacy data. But if a person can show up at a poll and vote when the poll book doesn't even have their correct last name and they be given a ballot, we know their procedural problems in place. When we have four students, I'll cite you an example, Halifax County, Elizabeth City State University. There are four black females listed in that provisional file, live at the same address, voted the same day, and voted a provisional ballot. And all four of them say ballot missing from the envelope.
All right. And let me give a disclaimer here real quick for our listeners' benefit. Neither Major Dave nor CCTA is making accusations that Roy Cooper or anybody else stole the election. What Major Dave is saying is the anomalies in the data raise some very serious questions about the integrity of the data.
And being very stubborn and suspicious, I think that the suspicions are well-founded.
Right. And those questions are being raised, and all we're saying is, well, we need to get some answers to these questions, because if there is something going on out there, we need to stop it.
And, you know, in addition to that, I think we need to alter our system in such a way that it would be very, very difficult to manipulate and very, very easy to keep tabs on it that it's not being manipulated.
Right. Well, I'm going to tell you what. It's like with so many other social issues nowadays. We're going out of our way to be politically correct and make sure nobody is disenfranchised and that everything is done to benefit certain segments of our population. I'll put it that way. We're doing it to the extent of just cutting our own heads off.
Actually, Rick, what we need to concentrate on is doing things in such a way that it is fair to the citizens, no matter what subgroup they belong to. Ignore that. If
Absolutely.
You're a citizen or you aren't one.
Bob?
I would ask the listeners to answer to themselves, how many of you would leave your credit card out on your desk at work and walk away for days and just, when you see your bill, not worry about the discrepancies on your credit card bill? The discrepancies in the voters invalidate my vote.
Yes.
That's a problem.
That's a good point. It does.
Yes.
The whole system depends on credibility and believability.
I'd like to talk real quick about another issue that is tied into this. It doesn't have to do with the voter integrity, but it has to do with the apathy of the voters. Like I said, we just had the municipal election here in New Bern. 17% turnout. That is disgusting.
That's actually very good statewide.
You give me some other examples because I know have some.
Well, back when Jennifer Roberts ran for mayor of Charlotte, they gave us that infamous bathroom ordinance. She got elected by an 8% turnout.
Wow.
That's all it took to give her the mayor's position. And most people don't know that ordinance had previously been voted down, and the Human Rights Campaign out of D.C. dumped a bunch of money into Charlotte to get her and two others elected, and they did, which gave them the majority, so they brought it back up, and this time they passed it.
Right.
That was just voter apathy of historic proportions. Now, yesterday in Wake County, I ran their numbers. Their turnout countywide was just under 15%. But if you look at the city of Raleigh and just the Raleigh population, actually about 27% of the voters turned out. They had a really contentious mayor's race. They had a three-way mayor's race. And the third guy basically, it looks like, split the vote enough they're going to throw it into a runoff. So now we're going to have a runoff election, which also begs the question of why are we having these off-cycle elections costing us basically the same thing as it does to have a presidential election, you know, with 50 people on the ballot. And some people say, well, if you put them on the same ballot, it's too complicated. People don't pay attention to the down ballot races anyway. Okay, but understand, we're having to foot that bill. Now, from 2005 to 2012, we had federal grant money that paid for that.
Yep.
And that money ran out. And ever since then,
the
counties have had to pay for the cost of these elections. And because we're tied to that sole source contract, none of the counties have the latitude to go out and seek a cheaper, better alternative.
This definitely leads into something it leads to something that I've talked about before, is it's a way of them engineering apathy into the system. By putting these in off cycles and weird times when people aren't tuned in, you get people say, it's confusing and people aren't paying attention. Well, they're engineering it where people aren't paying attention. It's
right.
Not an accident.
Well, I wanted our listeners to pay attention to this, because you couple the apathy with the manipulation and you wonder why we're in such a mess. Why? You wonder, how do people like this get in control and in power? Well, that's how. The majority of the people are sitting at home and not participating in the process. And
so the combination's
right.
A 1-2 punch.
You got 17% come out here and vote, and then you say, and a good part of that is manipulated. And fraudulent, maybe, you know, the numbers don't add up.
Well, we need to work on all of the above, and we need help doing it.
Right. It's a problem. It really is. The poll I worked at yesterday, we had 17 voters all day long.
Oh, gosh.
There were 6 poll workers there. I can't tell you because I don't know the exact number, but a lot of money went into setting up a poll to accommodate 17 voters. And when I was turning in the results for that precinct, the lady behind me was turning in hers, and they only had 16 voters. Now, how much effort would it take to have totally swayed whoever won that election?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it taken a whole lot?
Well, and if you want to look up the
maybe
data,
maybe a bus full of people.
If you want to try and look up the data to find out, the good news is that the North Carolina State Board of Elections data and statistics website is 404 error and is down right now. So good luck trying to hold people accountable for that. I think somebody knows you're going after it.
Well,
Dave,
Rick, this goes back to what we were talking about before with the contract and the cost of running the elections, because right now, until we go to ballot on demand, they have to print a ballot for every registered voter.
Right.
And we only, even last November, we only had 69-point-something% turnout.
Explain
statewide, or 70.
Explain ballot on demand. Explain that notion.
You print a ballot that you have a
printer,
voter show up.
A printer at the polling place. So it produces that ballot. I've learned so much during this because I did not know what an administrative precinct was. I did not know what a voter tabulation district was. These are all data ways of looking at our precincts, our judicial districts, our state house and state senate districts where they split a precinct.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to break each one of them up into voter tabulation districts. So if the house candidate's getting part of Craven County and part of, you know, Lenoir County or whatever, they know to lump all those numbers for those voters together to come up with the total.
It's a downwind creation of having overlapping jurisdictions. You know, when you live where Hal and Rain are due, for instance, your state House of Representatives vote goes different place than the state Senate vote goes different place than somebody in a different part of Craven County who's voting for those same offices.
And basically, what it boils down to, what he's saying about the ballot on demand, 17% voted. That means 83% of the ballots that were printed and paid for were thrown away.
Or are open to anomalies.
Yeah.
If every ballot is used, then that makes it a lot harder to fake stuff.
Print-Elect, which is actually, I think, based here in New Bern.
It is.
Most counties are paying somewhere in the neighborhood of 34 cents a ballot. Well, if we got 6 million registered voters and only 4.7 million voted, that's over a million ballots that would have been printed in November that didn't get used. Times 34 cents a piece, and you're talking about some real money that's just wasted. Yep. So ballot on demand would allow us to print the ballots as needed. And, you know, the nice thing is we already have laptops. We already have labels and label printers at the precincts anyway, because any early vote is an absentee. And all absentee and provisional ballots have to be retrievable.
Right.
That's why they put a sticker with a barcode on it so they can go back and pull that actual ballot. If it's later, for some reason, protested and invalidated, they can go into that pile, find that specific piece of paper and withdraw it.
All right. Well, Dave, we sure appreciate you bringing up all these points and educating us on things that, as you said, you weren't aware of until you got involved in the process, and I guarantee you most of us didn't know anything about.
Well, we'll still be talking about it a year from now, so I'll be happy to come back in between and give you another
update.
The
problems are going to be solved by the next congressional election. There will be nothing to talk about when that happens.
Well,
laughing. I'm sorry.
Anybody have any final questions?
No, I just thank you for your time.
Yes, keep up the good work.
All right. Again, that's Major Dave Goetz. You can find his YouTube channel. You can also find him on Facebook. Just search for Dave Goetz, and that's G-O-E-T-Z-E. And he's got a wealth of information out there, and he's doing a service to us, and we do appreciate his efforts. So this has been a special edition, and thank you for coming and listening.